Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Raphael Goyeneche, president of the Metropolitan Crime Commission. He joins us Thursdays in this hour, and we appreciate that certainly. And Rafi, welcome to the show.
Hey, great to be back, Newell. I don't, you know, nothing going on, so I don't know what we're going to be able to talk about tonight.
We got a lot of stuff to talk about, so let's jump right in. The state legislature downsizes the bench at Criminal District Court in New Orleans from 12 judges to 9. Originally, it was discussed that it would be the LIFO method, last in, first out, based on seniority. That's not what happened. 3 judges were removed. So let's start there and let's talk about, in your view, the impact.
Okay, so, you know, this bill has gone through so many rewrites and so many revisions, I can't even keep up with it. But it was the final revision that really stunned me and took everybody by surprise. So the original bill that was offered by Senator Jay Morris out of Monroe called for the study for 2 years as to how many judges were actually needed in criminal district court. So this is a statewide issue, but the legislature decided to start with Orleans Parish, New Orleans. And I think in large part because of the work of the Crime Commission, where we routinely issue reports on the performance of the 13 judges of criminal district court, primarily focusing on the 12 felony sections of court. So we issue those reports on a yearly basis. So there's more information about Orleans Parish District Court, Criminal District Court, than any other jurisdiction in the state. So I think that was the starting point. But the initial plan was to conduct a 2-year analysis. But that bill quickly got changed when the Supreme Court supplied to the legislature, at the request of the legislature, a study that was commissioned by the Supreme Court in which they surveyed all of the judges in the state of Louisiana. They hired the National Center for State Courts to determine what the workload was for every judge in the state of Louisiana. So every judge over a 5-week period of time recorded how many minutes they devoted to each case on their docket during that 5-week span. That 5-week span was February the 15th of 2025 through January the 14th. I got that backwards. January the 15th of 2025 through February the 14th of 2025. So in Orleans Parish, that span was 2 weeks after the terror attack, in the middle of the snowstorm, with the Super Bowl about to happen in Mardi Gras. So during that 5-week span, most of the cases got continued because officers weren't available, victims and witnesses and people that work in the courts weren't available. So not a whole heck of a lot happened, but that information was put into a common database. The legislature requested those numbers be applied to Orleans Parish Criminal District Court, Orleans Parish Civil District Court, Juvenile Court, and Traffic and Municipal Courts. So the Supreme Court tendered that information to the legislature by letter dated March the 6th of 2026. And this was signed by Justice Wiemer, Chief Justice of the Louisiana Supreme Court. And providing the information, he pointed out that the entity that conducted this study, the National Center for State Courts, recommended conducting a site visit to evaluate factors that weren't taken into consideration with the data that was collected. And Justice Wiemer pointed out that Louisiana and the Supreme Court and Judicial Council had not had time to conduct a site visit or weigh any of the qualitative factors that might affect the final determination of what the actual workload is in criminal district court or any of the courts in Orleans Parish. So that information resulted in the legislature amending the original bill to remove and eliminate three judgeships from criminal district court. They were also supposed to eliminate two judgeships from civil district court. They were supposed to eliminate up to two judgeships from juvenile court and reduce the numbers of traffic and municipal judges from seven to four. So what ended up happening is that the legislature approved the bill at the 11th hour. They eliminated no judgeships from civil district court. They eliminated a grand total of two judgeships from traffic and municipal court. They left juvenile court as is with four judges, but they pared down criminal district court by eliminating three sections of court. So the sections of court, there's 12 of them. They preside, the judges that are elected to those sections that run citywide preside over the felony docket of criminal district court. So what ended up happening was the legislation all the way through the session, as you pointed out last in, first out. So the bill was amended between the House and the Senate, and it had to go to a concurrent committee to resolve those amendments and align them. And when it emerged, which was in the last hours of the legislative session, the bill was amended yet again. So it went in there to that session on technical amendments, and what emerged was instead of the last three judges in, the first three out, they altered it. They eliminated the last judge in, which was John Fuller, that replaced Judge Darrell Durbiney in Section J, the most recently elected judge, skipped over the second most junior judge, which was Leon Roche, and then eliminated the 11th most senior judge, Simone Levine. So they altered the policy, not for Judge Fuller, not for Simone Levine, but for Leon Roche. And Leon Roche was the second most junior judge in that building. So instead of leapfrogging to the 10th least senior judge, or the 9th least senior judge, or the 8th least senior judge, they jumped all the way up to the 7th most senior judge in the building and eliminated the judgeship for Judge Rhonda Good Douglas. So that was the 11th hour fast one that was pulled over on the legislature. And I spoke to a few legislators, and I don't know if this is the case for the entire legislature, but a number of legislators did reach out to me and express their surprise and anger about the fact that the bill was altered. They said that they didn't really have time to read it. Had they read it, they would have seen that it had been changed and they wouldn't have voted for it. So, you know, the bottom line is deals were cut, strings were pulled in the back room on the last hours of the legislative session to spare Leon Roche at the expense of Judge Douglas. She had no idea it was coming. Nobody but the political insiders had an idea it was coming. The governor of the state of Louisiana had no idea it was coming, because when he found out about it, he expressed outrage. And he pointed out that he considered Judge Douglas to be one of the better judges in criminal district court. So nobody has taken responsibility or informed the public as to how this deal was cut, what the justification was for it. What I've been told is that one of the state's senators, Gary Carter, is a relative to Judge Leon Roche, and he played a role in shifting the elimination of judgeship for his relative, Leon Roche, and inserting Judge Rhonda Good Douglas as a substitute for his relative, whose position was supposed to have been eliminated. So, you know, this is exactly the type of backroom political deals that turn people off to the system. So the last in, first out applied to two of the three judgeships whose position was eliminated. And that was no surprise. What was the surprise was that Leon Roche, which was one of the last three judges in fact, the second to last judge in, was spared. And the seventh most senior judge in that building was substituted for him. And now Judge Good Douglas, who had no idea that this was coming, you know, found out at the same time that, you know, the bill was actually passed into law, which is too late to do anything about it. So now that legislation is sitting on the governor's desk. And yesterday he was quoted as saying that he's going to sign it. He's not happy with the way that it turned out, but he believes that there's not justification to have 12 sections of court, and he's going to abide by what the legislature did, which is cull the court down to 9 judges. He doesn't agree with the selection process of how Judge Roche was excluded and Judge Good Douglas was inserted, but he believes that the court has too many judges, and that's why I'm told that it's anticipated that he will sign that legislation. But once that goes into effect, which will be January the 1st, instead of 12 sections of court processing all of the workload that goes through that court, it'll be 9 sections of court. So the consequence of that is that you know, you're eliminating 25%.
Let me just say something before we move on, and then we got to get to a break, and then we'll come back okay. And we'll start on that. There is an opportunity to right this wrong. Right? Because in the fall, there are elections, if my memory serves me correct. And I'm sure that Judge Douglas has said already that intends to run. You hadn't heard the end of this. And this is where voting matters. If you want to be part of this shenanigans, this political gamesmanship that was played where you're screwing with people's lives, I mean, this is extraordinary that this was done in the first place and the manner it was done. It was bad enough at first, right?
Yep.
And I went on record the other day. I said, you know, this is bad, but the court has no one to blame but themselves, because we don't have a system in this state. Every judge does what they want to do, how they do, when they do. There's no continuity. There's no consistency. There's nothing in that respect. And I blame all of the court. I blame the bar. I blame them all as to why we find ourselves in the position to have the differentials that we have on the court as to efficiency speaks volumes in my view. But we got a chance to right this wrong. If you want to reward the political players that are doing the backroom deals, then reelect Judge Roche. But if you want to send a strong message, you're willing to accept this BS, right? And all of these players that were working in the shadows of this deal, you know what? They're cowards because they're never going to come forward and reveal themselves. They're cowards. And you messed with a person's life, you know, and you went, you did all of this extraordinary machinations. And I think what we're going to find out is that she might be not the political favorite of whoever is involved in this three-ring circus that's going on here. And it'd be interesting. I'm calling them out. I hope. Why don't you reveal yourself as to who you are? And there are members in that conference committee that know exactly who they are. They ought to tell. They ought to tell the world. They need to step forward and tell everybody what's going on, because this is too important as it relates to this next election. I mean, it's really disappointing on so many different fronts that we would play this silly ass game as it relates to this of people being elected. All of those folks that want to trash on Governor Landry and the legislature and everything for being engaged in this process, our political leaders in the city of New Orleans here that have gone on their, you know, Instagram and all of this and talked about all of this, I want to see your next Instagram post where you want to all of these people to reveal themselves. Now, what I suspect is that they very well may be friends of these folks, and they won't do it. Well, you're cowards, too, because you know who it is, and they all know who it is. Nobody wants to talk about it. You need to step up and let everybody know who it is, and then we can have a real election in the fall and vote for who is the individual that's the most worthy of that vote. All right, I'll get off my soapbox. Let's get to a break, and we'll pick it up there with Raphael Goinecci when we return. Stay with us. All right, folks, excuse me. We're back with Raphael Goinecci, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. Let's pick up where you were about to go, Rafi, with this data.
Right. So before I get to that, there's one other thing that I'd like to talk about with respect to Judge Roche. So the fact that Judge Roche was given a reprieve behind closed doors by, you know, a select group of legislators, got over on the governor, got over on, the average citizen, got over on a lot of their fellow brother and sister legislators. But, you know, keep in mind that we issued a report in 2025, in May of 2025, in which we identified that Judge Roche presided over 13 judge trials. So under Louisiana law, a defendant has the exclusive right in a felony to waive the jury and be tried by a judge, a former prosecutor. When a defense attorney waives their right to trial by jury and opts for a judge, that's an indication that the defense attorney believes that he has a strategic advantage in waiving the jury and be tried by a judge. So we reviewed the judge trials presided over for the entire court over multiple years. There are 12 sections of court that preside over felonies. In 10 of the 12 sections of court, juries were waived on average of 2 per year per judge. And Judge Roche's court, which was his first year on the bench, he conducted 13 judge trials. And that means the defendant thought that there would be a strategic advantage in waiving the jury and elected to be tried by a judge. When we looked into it further, what we found out was in those 13 trials, no witnesses were called. The prosecution didn't have witnesses present. They requested a continuance. The judge denied their request for a continuance and forced them to trial. Prosecution stated that there were no witnesses present. The judge said, call your first witness. So the prosecution called the name of a witness. No one responded. The state rested. And the judge ruled or issued a verdict of not guilty. Well, under Louisiana law, a judge trial doesn't commence until the first witness is sworn in. In 13 cases, no witnesses were sworn in, and the judge found the accused not guilty. That wasn't a trial. So when we found that, you know, we ordered the transcripts. Some of those transcripts were sickening. So there were two judge trials conducted on Halloween Day in Judge Roche's section of court. One of the transcripts started out where the defense attorney, on the record, in the transcript, "Judge, I didn't wear my Halloween costume like you told me to wear for this trial." And the judge said, "That's all right. We're about to find out if this is going to be trick or treat." So the judge denied the request for a continuance, ordered the prosecutor to call a first witness. No witnesses were present. The state rested, and the judge found the accused not guilty. All of that information, you know, was sent, and I talked about this on your radio show at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
We sent that to the Louisiana Judiciary Commission. After that report came out, I was called to the legislature to testify about that. That was before this legislation was introduced. This was last fall that I went up there and testified before the legislature. Everybody in the legislature would have had access to this information. Certainly the people that were advocating for Judge Roche, that he be reprieved and saved and allowed to continue his section of court, those people were aware of that. They didn't care. This is about doing a favor for a relative and a friend, and apparently Judge Good Douglas didn't have the friends or the clout to combat this. So as you pointed out, you know, the public, you know, there's going to be an election cycle this fall. And you're looking at three judgeships that are going to be eliminated. And those are incumbent judges. So I expect that we're going to see those three judge challenge the remaining nine judges on the bench. And I think it's going to be a very, very interesting fall election cycle for criminal district court. And this will probably be at the front and center. I expect that Judge Roche will have some serious challengers, and they'll be talking about this issue. And it'll be up, as you pointed out, this will be up to the public to decide if they're going to allow this to happen going forward.
So have we heard anything from the Judiciary Commission, or is this another one of those Judiciary Commission investigations that's going to go on for like 5 years?
Okay, so I received a letter from the Judiciary Commission saying that the matter was closed, but they said don't take it to mean that they didn't take our matter seriously. I filed enough complaints through the years, Newell, that I realize that what they're talking in code, and I can't prove this, but what I suspect is what that letter told me is the complaint that I don't make frivolous complaints. My complaint
right.
was based on the judge not complying with the law, and we gave them the transcripts of all of that. So it's irrefutable that he found people not guilty in matters that were not trials, but he was in his first term, so I suspect that he was put on double secret probation and admonished for it, but I can't prove that. I don't know that. But I know that I presented the Judiciary Commission with actionable information. What normally happens in a case like this is that the judge is admonished, and if there's a subsequent complaint that is found to be a violation of the canons, it will result in more serious charges, and it will also result in the initial complaint that we filed being made public. I've seen that happen a number of times based on complaints that I've made. But I don't officially know what they have done, but I got the letter saying that they have closed the matter and resolved it.
Rafi, I know that you and I are going to be on the same side of this issue. So what does all that mean to the victims of these criminal defendants? I mean, the cases are not reinstituted, right? I guess double jeopardy.
Well, I mean, so technically they're open cases.
Are they?
So when we issue the report,
how the law is going to work here? And where's the DA on this?
It's up to the DA's office to move forward with those cases again or dismiss them. But, you know, those weren't trials. Those meaning that the judge's acquittal was invalid. It wasn't supported by the law. It was an illegal verdict.
This is months old, right? I mean, this is so the DA's not taking any action as of yet?
On some of the cases, apparently, you know, the last time I checked, which was a couple of months ago, they hadn't done anything with those cases. So, bottom line,
they wonder why voter confidence is in the toilet, right? You know, they wonder why this happens, right? Relative to the three judges being removed, I said this in my monologue on Monday. This court has no one to blame but themselves. They had a judge who didn't basically show up to work for a year, and nobody said anything. Right?
Years. Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I mean, you know, it's a travesty. I mean, who are these people that are sitting there? How does that moral compass work where you have a peer sitting in a courtroom next to you that's never there? And nobody ever thinks, hey, we have an obligation to do something here. This is criminal conduct, right? You're getting paid. And you're not working. How does that work? I mean, it's a huge letdown for me, you know. And I mean, there needs to be a day of reckoning. This Supreme Court, the Bar Association, everyone. There needs to be a day of reckoning if we're going to change any of this around. It's just a joke. And I said the other day, and you hear it too, Rafi, I know you do. If I had a dollar for every lawyer that ever said to me that they went in to argue a pretrial motion and the memorandum in support of that motion was never read by the judge, never looked at it, never read it, never took the time to do anything with it, then why are they running for judge? You don't want to be a judge if you don't want to read all of that, if you don't want to be bothered. You want to be something else. But do us a favor, leave. Get the hell out.
Right. Yep. Yep. So, you know, I've probably given everybody in your audience indigestion on that. But I also want to talk about, you know, what the cause and effect is of fewer judges in criminal district court. You know, we routinely report on the number of pretrial inmates, north of 1,300 pretrial waiting to be tried. So there is a backlog in criminal district court. And 60% of those in custody inmates are in there for felony crimes of violence or felony weapons offenses. The remaining number of those pretrial in custody inmates are in there for property and drug offenses. But the reason that they remain in pretrial custody is because of extensive prior felony convictions. They're repeat offenders. So we routinely report, the Crime Commission routinely reports on crime going down. And what we've seen is the police department and now their partners, the state police, are doing a much better job of arresting the felony offenders in this community. And as the more serious people get arrested, they are having bail set higher. They remain in pretrial custody while they're not on the streets. The cases, we see the crime rate go down. But now, since we're reducing the number of judges by 25% in criminal district court, that workload is going to have to be redistributed among the nine remaining judges, including Judge Roche. And some of the other judges that are engaged in, partisan judicial administration. That's going to slow the process down. It's going to cost the city money because the city has to pay to fund the sheriff's office for the inmates that are being held pretrial custody. So there's going to be additional costs involved in all of this, and justice delayed is justice denied, and justice will be delayed in Orleans Parish because of these reductions.
All right, we got to get to another break. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. We're visiting with Rafael Goyeneche, President, Metropolitan Crime Commission. House Bill 719 by Representative Peter Egan kind of divvied up these DA warrants around the state. What is the outcome for New Orleans, Rafi?
Okay, this kind of dovetails into the elimination of judgeships in New Orleans. So every district attorney in the state is issued warrants, and that is a state designation. And every warrant triggers a $50,000 payment from the state. And that's used by district attorneys all over the state to offer the first $50,000 of a DA's salary. So that figure has been stuck at $50,000 for a number of years. And it's been decades since the state has reviewed the workload and determined what is an equitable distribution of warrants. So the state and the LDAA conducted audit of it.
That's the Louisiana District Attorneys Association.
Exactly. So the LDAA submitted to the state, to the legislature, all of their data on filings and populations and whatnot. And as I said, it's been decades since the numbers of warrants have been reassessed. So New Orleans had the most warrants in the state at 83. Other jurisdictions were complaining that their workload had exceeded the workload in Orleans Parish, but their warrants hadn't been adjusted in years. So this bill finally passed, and it's a good bill. New Orleans is going from 83 warrants to 73 warrants. They lost 10 warrants. That's $500,000 in funding from the state. What was happening is, not just in New Orleans, but all over the state, some DAs are using warrants to supplement the salary of their staff. They'll stack warrants. So I went back and I looked at the numbers of ADAs in Orleans Parish since Leon Canizero, 2019. And what I've seen, New Orleans has had no more than 63 DAs. That was a high water mark. And most of the time, they're in the low to mid-50s. So under Jason Williams, I think he's averaged between 50 and 55. So reducing his warrants from 83 to 73 is not going to adversely impact his operation, but it will. He will lose $500,000 in funding, and he was stacking warrants as a number of other DAs around the state. So, you know, with the elimination of three judgeships in criminal district court, each section of court is staffed with two prosecutors. So those three sections of court that are being eliminated, that's going to be six ADAs that are no longer necessary to go to court on a daily basis. Additionally, the DA's office doesn't staff the magistrate commissioners. That's four. So there's the 10 right there. So the operations of the DA's office are not going to change. But more importantly, you know, jurisdictions like East Baton Rouge, St. Tammany Parish, Jefferson Parish, and Caddo Parish, they're all receiving increases in the numbers of warrants. Baton Rouge is going from 55 to 71. St. Tammany and Washington Parishes is going from 30 to 44. Jefferson is getting a four warrant bump from 54 to 58, and Caddo's getting a 4-2, and the rest of the jurisdictions are getting 1, 2, or 3 prosecutors. So 70 more warrants issued, but it's only a net increase of 60 because 10 were called away from New Orleans. But, you know, that's a, you know, again, the state doing something every few decades is too late, because it's critically important that prosecutors be there, because if it was just so simple as to say all we had to do was arrest somebody and we could fix the problem, we wouldn't need prosecutors. And, you know, when you hire a prosecutor at 50, you can't hire a prosecutor at $50,000. When someone comes out of law school as a new graduate, they have usually 4 years worth of college debt and 3 years worth of law school student loans to pay back. And $50,000 puts the DAs at a competitive disadvantage to hire people and retain people. So, you know, this is, I think, a win for public safety and prosecutors throughout the state. It's a badly needed first step. There was a move to increase the warrants from $50,000 to $55,000 a year, which I think is long overdue. But I think that that pay raise for warrants was shelved because of the fact that there wasn't funding for teacher pay raises. But that's something that has to be addressed going forward. More, the warrants need to be reevaluated, because $55,000 is not a competitive starting salary for assistant district attorneys.
Well, we have run out of time, and we still had about five topics to talk about, so we're going to have to move that to another time. But we certainly appreciate all the hard work that you do in pulling all of this data together and evaluating the efficiencies of this system or not. And we appreciate you joining us, and have a great weekend.
You too. Thank you, Neil. All right. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. We'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Scoot joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Well, we have a couple of things going on in politics that we have to touch on. The president sent the National Guard to New Orleans to help fight crime. Has the National Guard really had an impact on crime in the city? Also, is there something sweet, Noel, that you just you can't give up, even though you know you shouldn't eat it because it has too much sugar in it?
Caramels.
There is a new soda coming out that has 186 grams of sugar in it. It's a half a pound of sugar in one drink.
Jesus.
So that's going to lead us to talk about some of the sweet things that we love that we just can't seem to give up.
That would knock. I don't know what that would do.
That would be like cocaine.
Yeah. Scoot's headed your way, folks. Stay tuned. Have a great evening. We'll see you in the morning.